lesson, mothers who have been good to us. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that are here, that are still being mothers. And we thank you, Lord God, for mothers that have gone home to be with you. We thank you, God, and we praise your holy name. And so today we ask you to bless all mothers, especially. As we are facing many things in our nation, Lord God, as we seem to be constantly in conflict and the burden are on mothers, we pray for your strength and your guidance, Lord God, and your wisdom. We pray, Lord God, that you will be with them and with us. Bless our nation, Lord God, as it seems as if every other week there is something else. Yet, we thank you for this great nation. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to sustain. Sustain us through difficult times and to bring us through. So now, Lord God, speak a word for us. Speak a word of hope and a word of love, a word of joy and a word of peace. Speak, Lord God, for we are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our strength and our redeemer and our refuge and our Lord. Amen. And it's Mother's Day. I guess I'm going to keep saying that. Time I think about it, we have to celebrate. So I'm going to begin, as you see on this, my sermon title is Mothers Come in All Variations. You know, I was going to use many different words, but every word now has something attached to it. You have to be careful if you say, you know, different types, then people get upset. You have to kind of play around and find the words. So variations, that means, you know what variations mean, right? Different color, different size, different race, different something varies. Yet at the heart of it, they're still what? Mothers. Amen? At the heart of it, still mothers. You see, there is mom and nan and mama and mother and whatever we are called, and nana and grandma who are mothers. Mothers, at the heart of it, whether we have our children in the best hospitals in New York or in the fields of Africa or in you know, apartment buildings in Ukraine or Bosnia or wherever they have them, right here in New York in the South, in places that don't have the best medical care, they're still mothers, because at the heart of it is a mother's love. And so I'm going to begin with this story. Egypt honors mother who dressed as a man to provide for family. It's not often that a mother is honored for her habit of cross-dressing. But after hearing the story of this Egyptian mom, you'll be cheering her too. The Luxor governorate in Egypt recently honored local mother Sissa Abu Dahu for her decades, 43 years of work to provide for her kids and grandkids. What makes her story stand out? In part, the way that Abu Dahu did that providing, namely, while dressed as a man for 43 years in order to make enough money for her family. Widowed as a young new mother, she found herself destitute in a culture opposed to women breadwinners. But to support her daughter, Huda, she decided to put on men's garments and do men's work, making bricks, polishing stones, and more. Sister Abdul says in the article, I preferred working in hard labor, like lifting bricks and cement bags and cleaning shoes, to begging in the streets in order to earn a living for myself and for my daughter and her children. So to protect myself from men and the harassment of their looks and being targeted by them due to traditions, I decided to be a man and dressed in their clothes and worked alongside them in other villages where no one knows me. So for 43 years, she decided to do that work. Mothers are unique people. And that she was in Egypt. And if you understand Egypt and the Muslim laws, this was a big risk for her to do that. But she had to provide. She did not want to be on the streets as and begging. She decided to dress up as a man for 43 years. Mothers. And then the second story says, there is a new, this can be funny, but it's serious also, a new rent-a-mom service. There's a rent-a-mom service. Young or old, there are times when all of us need a mother. How true that is. Like when you get sick for the first time living on your own. Or when you are doing, or when you're going through a horrible breakup. Or when you're faced with the task of moving and packing up years' worth of stuff. But sometimes mom is 500 miles away or prefers a tough love approach, which you just can't deal with. Enter Rent-A-Mom. For around $40 an hour, you can have your very own mother figure help you make a tough decision, provide emotional support, or make you a homemade pumpkin pie when you're spending the holidays alone, no judgment included. So you could get a rent-a-mom. I think I may go into that thing later on. Nina Kennelly, 63 of Brooklyn, is a mother for hire. She came up with the idea for the service when she realized she was dishing out free advice to youngsters in her yoga class. They would come to yoga class and they'd be asking her questions. I have noticed that a lot of young people in the neighborhood wanted to talk to me about what was going on in their lives, she said. As a mother of two adults and one who is familiar with the New York City area, she says she can help millennials navigate the harsh waters of life as a young person in the big city. She puts it on her website. You call her when you need a mom, just not your mom. When you need a mom, not just your mom. This is a new business opportunity. Mothers, right? We could become a rent-a-mom and make some money for the things we've been doing for free. Out of love. And so the things you read and hear, and these are true stories, that these things happening. As this slide says, or this picture says, moms are like buttons. They hold everything together. It's the truth. It's our day, you see. So I'm going to find all the good things about mothers today. So come on for the ride now. Moms are like buttons, and we know how good they can be. Amen? Next slide. Now, we've read the story. We've heard the story today about Solomon. It's a story that lots of people don't know. It's an Old Testament story. I've kind of summarized it. I found this summary online. And there were two women, right? And they happened to have been two prostitutes. And I guess the text wanted us to know that. Because, whether they're prostitutes or they're not prostitutes or they're whatever we are, we're mothers. The only criteria to be a mother is to take care of a child. Whether you birthed the child or you didn't birth the child, is to take care of a child makes you a mother. So these two prostitutes came before Solomon. One claimed she gave birth to a child. So what happened is both of them had two children. And then they went to sleep, and one of the mothers rolled over on her child in the night, and the child died. So she heard, says she said, other woman had a child, but she smothered her child and swapped the boys. So the mother whose child had died swapped the child, right? She took the live child for her own and put the dead child with the other mother. The other woman denied the charges. So I'll let you know. So what happened is now, the woman who had the live child, she was lying, she claimed is her child. So they went to the king, King Solomon, they went to the king and said, guess what? This is my child. The other woman says, let the king decide. And so they're arguing with the king back and forth. And the king then said, bring me a knife. Bring me a knife. I am going to cut the child in half. Cut the child in half. And the true mother said, she was overwhelmed. She said, the real mother, oh no. Oh no, don't do that. Let her have the child. Let her have the child. And the mother who was lying, she said, cut up the child. Cut it in two. I'll take a half and you'll take a half. And Solomon says, that's the real mother, the first one, who said, give her the child. Give her the child. I'd rather not see my child die. That's what mothers will do, right? There is an old story. I don't think it was in, it's not in a scripture, but they used to say back home, if a child dies and you cook that child and put it on a plate and give it to, and you cook that baby and put it on a plate and give it to one of your children, they probably may eat it or not know, but if you were to give that child to a mother, she'll know. Mothers will know. And so this story is about Solomon and these two women showing you the love of a mother. Next slide. And then here comes, as we see the variations, here comes Mary, the mother of Christ. Right, and we know the story of Mary, how she was a very good mother to Jesus. Whether she knew he was fully divine, we see her at the wedding at Canaan with him, telling them that, you know, bring the wine to him, bring the water and he'll make it into wine. We see her looking for him at the temple on that day, looking for him when he was 12, always taking care of Jesus because she loved him as a mother, and she raising him, knowing that he was special, because when she was impregnated with him, she was told by angel Gabriel that he was going to be what? The Messiah. And so near the cross here is an example of what our Savior did. He looked and he saw his mother. Looking down at her, he saw his mother standing there weeping. And he said, dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciples, and I have an article in the Post today, in the Newsday, I meant to say. And I said in that article, he called her a woman because calling her mother was too painful for her that moment. Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciples, here is your mother. Because what he was doing is preparing care for his mother. He knew that he was going to leave the herd. And from that time on, these disciples took her into his home. Jesus knew the importance of his mother, how she took care of him until he was 30 years old, because he went into ministry when he was 33. Mothers, unique, loving mothers. Next slide. And I wanted to show some new variations here of mothers that we see in the news all the time. Mothers who will cry over caskets of their children dying, whether in war or on the streets, we see them. Mothers in pain with the high rate of gun violence and the wars that we have fought as a nation. You see mothers weeping all the time for their children. They bury them. It is the hardest thing I would imagine. I pray all the time to God that that never happens to me. That was my mother's prayer. That's all the time, that you'd rather die than bury your children. It is a hard thing for mothers. Next slide. And here it is again, another pictures of mothers standing proudly with a child, yet another mother is burying her child. Mothers go through difficulty. And the only good news is that the Lord is always with them. Always with them, bringing them through these times of trials. And so we need to honor our mothers. Mothers who raise children, children who they give birth to, or children that they adopt, mothers who love them. Next slide. And then I have a picture. Mothers come in all variation. I took the time last night to put a little collage together that we could see mothers. Mothers, white mothers, black mothers, Indian mothers, Chinese mothers, Korean mothers, mothers from all over, all wanting the same thing. Wanting the same thing for their beloved children. Whether they are on the streets feeding them because they have nothing else, or they have big homes, whether they are working in the fields, mothers who love their children. And so we want to remember them today as we remember our mothers. And we want to hold them dear to our hearts. Next slide. And now, in this section, I want to talk about the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother. And the question is, what makes a Christian mother distinctive from other mothers? What makes a Christian mother? My first point is, these were qualities. What are the qualities you see in a Christian mother? Point one, she trusts in God. Do you have a praying mother? A mother that you could call up and say, pray for me. Or even if you don't even say, pray for me, guess what? You call up and guess what they do? They say to you, I'll be praying for you, right? I'll be praying for you. Whatever you're going through, I'll be praying. They trust God. And you know that they trust God, and you feel as if they have a direct connection to God. Amen? Yes. You feel like that God hears them. You know, the scripture says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You have a mother who seeks God. You just feel that it's going to be all right. Quality number two, a mother who keeps the faith. Right? You need that, to know that even when things are going so bad in your life, you know that, and when you don't believe or you're questioning your faith, you have a mother who keeps the faith. Who will hold your hands, who says, I know you don't always get it, but I am trusting in God and I am keeping the faith. Sometimes they say they're keeping the faith for you and them. I'm praying for you and me. My mother used to say, I'm praying for you and me. When my children can't pray, I'm praying for them. Quality number three, a mother who possesses a keen sense of discernment. You know what that means? That your mother can tell. Have you ever had your mother call up and say something to you, or you go see them and they say, something is up. You don't even have to say a word. They say, something is up. I know something is up with you. Right? Discernment. To just know their children, their sons and their daughters. They just know them. Right? Something is up. What do you need? Come home. Do you need me to come there? Wherever you are, do you need me to come? Mothers who have a keen sense of discernment. Amen? Amen. And then next slide. and then Lord knows. Number four, mother who demonstrate unconditional love. What a mother who would do that. I read a story once that it was in South America, and they were giving away food. The people were hungry, and they were lining up to get food, and it was only fruits and things. And there was a mother in line. She was at the very end of the line. And by the time she got to the front to get a banana, she could only get one banana. She couldn't get one for herself. And she took that banana and gave it to the boy and went hungry because she was going to feed her child. Because of what? Unconditional love, right? And we know it every day here. Mothers who would go without for their children. Mothers who were going to debt to pay tuition, right? Mothers who would do whatever it takes. Mother who would give an eye for a child. You know that your mothers will do that. Child needs an eye. Take my eye. Take my eye. I could see out of one. Mothers. Number five. You know when mothers unconditional love, you know that they're like God, close to God, because God will forgive us for anything because He loves us. And most mothers will forgive their children of almost anything. Number five, forgives the offense of others willingly. Mothers who are forgiven, right? You could tell her anything. She'll forgive you and at least try to find a solution to the problem. I would say to my daughter, I don't care what you do. If you murder someone, you call me first. We're going to figure it out. I may have to take you to the police, but we're going to figure it out together. We've got to get a lawyer. We're going to get it together. But we're going to come together and we'll figure it out. Number six, mother who willingly release her children to God. Do you know what that means? Bringing your children to Sunday school. Releasing them to God so that they'll be taught the word of God. Right? Like Samuel's mother. She released young Samuel to the priest. When you bring your children to Sunday school, in essence, you're saying, teach them. They'll grow up. They'll get grown and go and do other things. But you have done what? You have told them about the Lord. Right? You've told them about the Lord. You've taught them. And that will what? Keep them. When everything else fails them, that will not fail them. Amen? When you release them to the Lord. We're getting to the end. And mothers, number seven, embraces a spirit of contentment. Very important. You know what a spirit of contentment is? When you want and want, your mother says, this is what we have. Let's be content with what we have in this house. You can't have the big new car. It's going to put you in debt. Let's be content with this second-hand car. Right? A spirit of contentment to guide their children. To guide their children to do what is right. Don't get yourself in credit card debt. Oh, when my daughter came back from college, I lost my spirit of contentment. Because of credit card debt. But, you know, I had to pray to get it back. Because we had to pay it off and cut up the credit card. Right? Because you're guiding them. Quality number eight. A mother who persists in prayer at all times, which I talked about earlier. Always praying for their children. Doesn't most of us as mothers here pray every day for our children? Right? We're praying for them. Lord, have mercy upon them. Watch over them. My daughter goes to school in the city, in Queens, public school she teaches. And I says, oh God, just watch over her. And the shooting and this. Could you just protect her, put an edge of protection around her? Constantly praying, right? Quality number nine, mothers who are committed to studying the Word of God. Because you see, when we study the Word of God, it guides us and it strengthens us. So we can what? Guide our children and strengthen our children. Amen? Amen. And then mother who cultivates a joyful environment. You don't want to be in a house with a mother that is always, you know, everybody's always miserable, right? You want to be, you know, in a place where you could have joy and love and joy and happiness. Amen? And we know when we're going home to see Mama and she's so glad to see us, how she cooks the best food. And as a young girl said here, the children, the biryani with the chicken, and they make whatever we eat, and the lasagna, and they get ready, and they set the place. And even when you have a burden on you, everything is all right because you're going to see Mama. Amen? Because Mama is so wonderful. I pray for those people who didn't have good mother. I know that there's circumstance and situation that has happened. But for those of us who have had good mothers, thanks be to God. It's a gift of God. Amen? And so today, as we remember our mothers, next slide, it says here, I love this picture, children and mothers never truly part, bound together by the beating of one's heart. Isn't that the truth? They are our heart muscle, right? They are heart pain. We feel them. They are heart joy. It's constant, isn't it? And then when you have a grandbaby, oh Lord, have mercy. You see yourself in the grandbaby and them, you're so overwhelmed with the joy, right? Of seeing that love and that joy. The final slide. A mother is God's way of proving He doesn't want us to walk alone. Mother is God's way of proving He doesn't want us to walk alone. That means God gave us a mother who will walk with us, talk with us, be with us. Thanks be to God for our mothers. Amen?